Day, isn't it?
Amen.
We got some relief from that hot stuff. But anyway, it's good to see you this morning and get all the smiling faces for some announcements and things to take note of. First off, deacons and WA meetings Tuesday night here at 7 p.m. Nominating committee meeting August the 12th at 7:30. Men's fellowship, fishing, and lunch. Now, if you haven't already, there's a sign-up sheet out there on the counter in a fellowship hall, and you can check either or both, okay? So hopefully you go fishing and have lunch. So anyway, so get that done so we know how many boats we need, okay?
Both.
I fish to eat. And Youth Summer Fun Day, Saturday the 16th from 4 to 6. There will be water games, food, lots of fun. Please bring a change of clothes, a bathing suit, a towel. A sign-up sheet will be available in the fellowship hall. See Michelle Jenkins for any questions. And Senior Saints Ministry, Monday the 25th here at 7 p.m. I got this one want to read to you. It says, thank you, Fairport family. Ed and I are very happy to be able to be back with you today, and he is even happier that he's been allowed to return to his normal activities as long as he doesn't overdo it. It was a real comfort to receive so many texts, calls, visits, and cards. The WMA ladies sent several cards and lovely, lovely flowers, and the senior saints were saints. Most of all, it was reassuring to know that you held him in your prayers. He will have to continue his treatments for the foreseeable future, and we know that you will keep him in your prayers. Thank you again for lifting us up in the Fairport family. That's Ed and Joy Norris, and we are glad to see you back. All right. Any other announcements, anything? All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this privilege, this honor, to be before your presence here this morning, to come to give you the worship and the praise and all the glory for all the wonderful and great things that you do for us, and especially the gift of salvation in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And may all that we do here today lift up his cross, lift his name up above all, and may we glorify him in all that we do, for we come in his holy and precious name. Amen.
There is no other name by faith is resting.
Okay, our first song this morning is 219, Surely the Presence of the Lord is in this place. And as we sing, we'll sing it through a couple times. Under that 220, He is here.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. As we like to say, let the children come. And I did hear a few, so I know we have some today. Willie, you're welcome to come down too if you want. I see you hiding back there. Hi! Did you have a good trip? I know. Michigan, wow. Here's Michigan, the thumb of Michigan. How's everybody doing? Hey, I invited Willie, but good to see you. You can ask me a question. You can ask me anything, Johnny. Jeb watched baseball? That's way cool. Has he ever played baseball?
Yeah.
What's that?
He played a lot of things.
Wow. Okay. No, it's good. It's good to interact. I like having them here. This should be their happy place, right? I see someone hiding over there who doesn't look too happy. Well, it's good to see everybody today. So I want to talk about something that the pastor is going to be talking to all of us about today. We're learning a special message from the Bible. It's when God was talking to some people from Philadelphia. But not the Philadelphia we know. It's a different Philadelphia. And God had a special message for us. He said, I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut. an open door that no one can shut. That sounds pretty exciting. What type of door would you like to have open that no one can shut? How about a door to compass? Would that be fun? I think that'd be fun. How about a door to Chitter Chats? And no one could shut that door. Ice cream, I know, that's good. Well, you know what? It's nice to think that no one... Teleport anywhere and we could teleport to Chitter Chats. That would be wonderful. But you know, it's wonderful that there are other doors that Jesus is not shutting. Like maybe a door to a friend. Or a door with someone to share our love. Or a moment of trust to Him when we don't feel the best. You know, there's lots of things that Jesus has opened the door for us. And we need to keep that door open. What do we do before dinner and before lunch and before breakfast? We pray. And that's a way to keep that door open for us. But Jesus promises that that door has been open and only He can shut it. And He's promised us He won't shut that door. The other thing He told the people in Philadelphia is, even though you don't feel that strong, even though you have doubt, and even though you have some moments where you're not sure of things, understand that God has us. He will protect us. So just remember, you don't have to be the biggest or strongest person in your class. You just have to believe and trust in the Lord God with all your heart, right? All right. Let's say a quick prayer and then dismiss everybody to the back room, okay? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for the open doors in our lives. We know that with You, anything is possible and everything is probable. So help us trust ourselves that You have given us the strength to be strong. In Your name we pray. Amen. All right, you guys go to the back room. In case you guys may have noticed, Michelle is not with us this morning. Unfortunately, she is under the weather, and she's down at Norfolk General Hospital where she's being treated for something. And so please keep her in your prayers. Hopefully, she'll be back within a few days, back home and recovering. We do have some praises in the house. Joy and Ed are with us today, and that is such a praise to see you guys. And thank you for the nice card to the church. That means a lot, and to know that you're thinking of us like we've been thinking about you guys. It's quite a blessing to have you back. Stella's friend Dwayne White, who recently joined the church, is not well. He went to the hospital on Wednesday evening, and he is battling something. Yesterday, he was moved down out of the ICU, and in a couple days, Stella says that in a couple days, he may be able to return here to Reedville. So that's a blessing. Vicky is not doing well. I'm afraid that she has taken a setback and her pain has creeped back up. So please lift her up. We have some other people to think about too. Jackie, you said Creed Fallon, which is a neighbor of yours, is having some issues. So please, he's given 6 months. So please lift him and his family up. It's very sad news to hear indeed. But we know that with God, anything is possible. So we're going to go in that route. I know some others out here have some bumps and bruises, and we lift you up. Does anybody else have any prayers, praise, or concerns to share with the pastor today? Please, thank you for checking in on each other. We have some beautiful weather in the forecast for at least a couple of days. Be a wonderful opportunity to get out and help your neighbors. Thanks.
Thank you. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before You with joy and thanksgiving in our hearts. We come because of all that You do for us, the joy of our salvation, where You placed in our hearts through Your Holy Spirit and the Lord Jesus Christ. And it helps us to live out each and every day, to be each and every day, to be a glorious day, that we can go forth and we can recognize You as the one that looks over us, takes care of us, and sees to all of our needs. And we We pray, Father, for those that we've mentioned here today, especially those, our church members that are in the hospital. We pray that they will be out soon. They will be soon back to us and back to full health. And we thank you for those that are back with us that have been through some struggles and surgeries and other things, that you have brought them safely back to us. And to be mindful of those that are going through some troubling times, especially with their health issues, we pray that you would continue to put your healing hand upon them and to strengthen them. And above all, to let them know of your love and your care for them and your presence in their lives. And we pray, Father, for our world. We pray for our lost world, and for us to realize that you have opened the door for us to share the gospel in this community and throughout the world through our giving. And we pray, Father, that we would realize that door is opened by you. We need to be sensitive as we go each day to the needs of the people around us, especially to the lost, and to the opportunities that are offered us to share the gospel in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we pray, Father, now as we go through this service, all that we do and say is according to your will and glory, and we lift up the name of Jesus above all, for it is in his holy and precious name we come. Amen.
Amen. Our offertory hymn this morning is 437, Send the Light. Stand as we sing.
And we thought we had problems. If Noah had lived in the United States in the last 10 years, the story may have gone something like this. And the Lord spoke to Noah and said, in 1 year I'm going to make it rain and cover the whole earth with water until all flesh is destroyed. But I want you to save the righteous people and two of every kind of living thing on earth. Therefore, I'm commanding you to build an ark. In fear and trembling, Noah took the plans and agreed to build the ark. Remember, said the Lord, you must complete the ark and bring everything aboard in 1 year. Exactly 1 year later, fish storms, cloud covered the earth, and all the seas of the earth went into tumult. The Lord saw that Noah was sitting in his front yard weeping. Noah, he shouted, where is the ark? Lord, please forgive me, cried Noah. I did my best, but there was big problems. First, I had to get a permit for construction, and your plans did not meet the building codes. I had to hire an engineer firm and redraw the plans. Then I had a fight with Asha over whether or not the ark needed a sprinkler system and approved flotation devices. Then my neighbor objected, claiming I was violating zoning ordinances by building the ark in the front yard, so I had to get a variance from the city planning commission. Then I had problems getting enough wood for the ark because there was a ban on cutting trees to protect the spotted owl. I finally convinced the U.S. Forestry Service that I really needed the wood to save the owls. However, the Fish and Wildlife Service won't let me take the two owls. The carpenters formed a union and went on strike. I had to negotiate a settlement with the National Labor Relations Board before anyone would pick up a saw or a hammer. Now I have 16 carpenters on the ark, but still no owls. When I started rounding up the other animals, an animal rights group sued me. They objected to me taking only two of each kind aboard. This suit is pending. Meanwhile, the EPA notified me that I could not complete the ark without filing an environmental impact statement on your proposed flood. They didn't take very kindly to the idea that they had no jurisdiction over the conduct of the creator of the universe. Then the Army Corps of Engineers demanded a map of the proposed floodplain. I sent them a globe. Right now, I'm trying to resolve a complaint filed with the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission that I'm practicing discrimination by not taking atheists aboard. The IRS has seized my assets, claiming that I'm building the ark in preparation to flee the country to avoid paying taxes. I just got a notice from the state that I owe them some kind of user tax and failed to register the ark as a recreational watercraft. And finally, the ACLU got the courts to issue an injunction against further construction yard, saying that since God is flooding the earth, it's a religious event and therefore unconstitutional. I really don't think I can finish the ark for another 5 or 6 years. Noah waited. The sky began to clear, the sun began to shine, and seas began to calm. A rainbow arched across the sky, and Noah looked up hopefully. You mean you're not going to destroy the earth, Lord? No, he said gladly, I don't have to. The government already has. I thought about that. I know in some of the frustrations I've heard when some of the construction of our out here with permits and inspectors and all of that stuff. So I know the aggravation. POWs. On a Pacific island in World War II, were found by MacArthur's return. The U.S. Marines found the doors opened, but the prisoners still inside. They were afraid to leave. You see, the Japanese had left when they knew that MacArthur and his men were coming. So they were still in there. They were afraid to walk out. Now, Christ set an open door at the Church of Philadelphia, and as he said, not Philadelphia, PA, but a different Philadelphia. In fact, Philadelphia, brotherly love, and in fact, I understand what I know. You know, the fans there in Philadelphia, the Philadelphia Eagle fans, are not very brotherly loved. They don't treat people right. But a door of open door of opportunity. So let's look at Revelation chapter 3, verses 7 through 13, as we look at the church in Philadelphia. Revelation chapter 3, starting at verse 7. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia I write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say that they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of the heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. As always, we see here we've got a letter, and then we have recipients. The first and foremost, the recipient here is the angel. Who's the angel? He's the messenger. Who's the messenger? He's the minister of the church. He's appointed to keep the church alive and faithful. That's part of his duty, to see that the members remain faithful to their Lord and Savior, and to live in the Word. He's to be an example. The minister's to be an example for the rest of the congregation to follow. And he's to preach and teach the Word. 1 Corinthians 9:16 says, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. Let me tell you something. There's a lot of ministers, a lot of churches out here today don't realize what this says. I do. I've always taken it to heart. I always preach the word. Every time I'm getting ready to do a sermon, anytime, it's out of here. It's not out of the newspaper. It's not out of social living. It's not out of any of that stuff. It's out of God's word. Preach the word. I had an experience when I was in seminary, and I had an opportunity to go for a week to Dallas, Texas, to First Baptist Dallas, Texas. That's when Criswell was the pastor of that church. Been there over 50 years. He used to have a school of the prophets once a year. And ministers from all over the country would come there. And I had the opportunity to go. And one of the guest speakers, and he's gone on to be with the Lord now, but if you've heard of him, Dr. Stephen Alford. Dr. Stephen Alford, he came. He's one of those Scottish preachers. I don't know if you've heard some of them Scottish preachers. Man, they can turn it on. And he came to the United States and filled the pulpit in his big Baptist church in New York City. He is one of those that he always preached. If he was on an airplane, he said he had a captive audience. He'd get up and walk up and down the aisle and preach to the people in the airplane. They weren't going anywhere. But he preached a message to us ministers there that day as preachers. And he preached about the scripture where it says to in season and out of season, whether it means whether it's convenient or it's not convenient to preach the word. And he got to a point and he started going there, preach the word, preach the word, preach the word, preach the word. Those words still in my ears and in my mind. In times when I sit down and I pray the Lord about, and that comes to me, preach the word. Preach the word. To exhort the members to live for Christ, to study the word, to pray, to witness, and to minister in the name of Jesus Christ. And then to the congregation, the church at Philadelphia, brotherly love is what it means. It was a border town. It was a mission-minded, evangelistic church. They preached and spread the gospel. And of course, there was a Jewish synagogue in town, which was trouble. Now, who's the speaker here? Of course, this the one that sent the letter. This is Jesus, the Holy One, God Himself, God. Jesus is God. He's part of the Godhead. He's part of the Trinity. The one who is true. He's always true. He always speaks the truth. He is the truth. He's the key of David here. What does that mean? He's the Messiah, because it was promised to David that out of him would come the Messiah someday, which he did. It's the authority of Jesus. Look what it says here. He alone opens and closes the doors to God's court. He's the one that opens the doors of opportunity for us in this church and individuals for us to share the gospel. And he's the one that can close the door. I had an experience in the church some years ago, one of the churches I pastored. They came to a point when I sat down with the finance committee and they decided to quit giving to missions. They wanted to save the money. They had still had a mortgage on the church, and they wanted to pay it off before they died. They wanted to see it paid off. And so they sit there and they looked at me and asked me, I said, you know what? I said, you cut missions off. I said, Lord will quit blessing his church. He's going to slam a door shut on you. Oh, they didn't like that. But you know what? I had no vote. I just was an advisor, you know. So they went before the church in a business meeting and proposed that to the church. People listened to the people on the finance committee, you know, make this proposal. Then finally one lady stood up and she says, what does the pastor think about that? I hadn't said a word. And I said, well, being as you've asked, I said, I have advised the committee not to do this. And I said, if you do, I said, it's going to slam a door shut on his church. The Lord will no longer bless it. Of course, they turned it down. But the chairman of the finance committee was upset with me for a long time. Until she was in the hospital getting ready to go through some serious surgery. And I came in there and held her by the hand and prayed for her. And she gave me a smile. Everything was okay. But she said I had no business doing it. I said, oh, no. I said, I didn't say anything in the meeting until I was asked my opinion. And I said, I shared it. I had that right. He alone opens and closes the door to heaven. He is the door to heaven itself. And he's the one that opens and closes. He alone opens and closes the door of opportunity. Many delay in sharing. Many fear. Many are in unbelief. Many are ignorant. And many are unwilling to share the gospel. But we, as individuals in a church, need to be willing to always share it. Now, he commends this church. There is no condemnation for this church, only commendation. They used the open door to evangelize and to do missions. They took opportunities to do what the Lord had offered to them. They had kept Christ's word. They studied it, they obeyed it, they lived it, and they preached it. We not only just need to talk a good game, we need to live a good game. They had not denied the Lord's name. They confessed Christ and all they did as a church, and they stood against all opposition and persecution. And they had a hope. They will be vindicated. The persecutors, they said, Jesus called it the synagogue of Satan. He said, they're not Jews, it's a synagogue of Satan. I wonder, I know because I experienced this in one church. I wasn't there very long, just a short while. I had a discussion with the previous pastor and with the pastor that followed me who didn't talk to me before he went there and talked to me later. And I said, if you'd have talked to me, you would have never got there. And both of them asked me this question. Did you feel some evil in that church? I said, absolutely. And there was times I was feared. And one reason I took an offer to get out of there. They were going up against this church. Now, look what Jesus says here. One of two things about these people. They're either going to be converted or they're going to be judged. That's one of two. That's with anybody. The two choices. One, you can be converted. You can accept Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. Or you can be judged. Amen. There will be deliverance from the great hour of trial. The church will be delivered. Christ gave them counsel. Gave them some wise counsel. He said, hold fast. Hold fast to what you got. And no man can take your crown away. Their crowns are going to be awarded for the works and things that we do for our Lord and for His church. And no man can take them away. It's just like the same with the joy of our salvation. No man can take that from you. And what it says, He will someday return. He definitely will return. This is something we need to be looking, waiting for. This is something as part of the Lord's Supper is that we're looking and waiting for His return. Now, there was some years ago, this conference was held over in Europe of these so-called theologians from all over the world. I forget how many hundreds of theologians. And you know what one of the final things they came out of that with? There's not going to be any literal return of Jesus. I don't think they have the same Bible I got. It talks more about His second coming than it did about His first. There's a promise to the overcomers. We'll be made a pillar in the temple. This is a symbol of strength and permanence. What is a pillar? Pillar is a support. You know, sometimes we talk about somebody being a pillar of the community or pillar of this or that because of their strength and their leadership and so forth. You'll be made a pillar in the temple, a pillar in heaven. We'll receive security. We'll be forever free from sin and corruption. When we step into God's eternal kingdom, that will no more be. We'll receive God's name. A possession of His name never to be touched by Satan again. We'll receive the name of the city of God, New Jerusalem. That's heaven. Become a citizen of God's capital city. In fact, if you are a believer, you're already a citizen of heaven. You're a pilgrim working your way there. Christ is the door to God's eternal kingdom. The only door. He is the only way. He's the truth, the life. No man cometh unto Him but by Him. They'll come to Father. Jesus is the door. We need to take the opportunities that lies before us to share with others. I guarantee you, if you will look around as you go each day, there are opportunities that come before you. And I know in my own personal life, now, I try to take advantage of those and try to share when I can. Now, there's sometimes, I'll be honest with you, I've missed it. I've missed an opportunity, and I'll be later thinking, I missed that because of Holy Spirit reminded me, you missed that, or you should have did this. While the door is open. While the door is open. Someday, it will be closed. Someday, it will be too late. When God says that's it, He'll slam a door shut. So while it's open, we need to take the opportunity to go through it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word today. We thank You for that open door at Philadelphia. And we know that we have an open door here. And that we take advantage of that open door to lead people unto Jesus Christ, who is the door to heaven. And if anyone here today does not know that they have entrance through that door, would do so, would accept the Lord Jesus as their Lord and Savior. For this in His name we pray. Amen. 340, turn your eyes on Jesus.